You're listening to the book summary presentation of Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't by Jim Collins, narrated by Larry G. Jones, and brought to you by Read In Graphics, actionable insights in one page. The big so what? The book addresses the questions, can a good company make the transition to be great? And if so, how? Through extensive research and analysis, Collins identified a number of timeless principles that helped a small group of companies to break away from the rest and consistently outperform the market. Identifying greatness in companies. Collins and his research team started with 1,435 good companies, examined their performance over 40 years, and identified 11 companies that became great. These companies are Abbott, Circuit City, Fannie Mae, Gillette, Kimberly-Clark, Kroger, Nucor, Philip Morris, Pitney Bowes, Walgreens, and Wells Fargo. These good-to-great companies had a few things in common. 15 years of cumulative stock returns at or below the general stock market, a distinct transition point, followed by cumulative stock returns of at least 3 times that of the general market over the next 15 years. This group of 11 companies were compared against 2 groups of comparison companies. The first group of companies came from the same industry and shared similar circumstances but didn't make the leap. The second group of unsustained companies made the leap but didn't sustain the performance. Why bother with greatness to begin with? The findings suggest that it does not take a lot more to build a great organization than it does to build a good one. Yet the process is more fun and delivers better results. So why not? In any case, when a company focuses on what its people are passionate about, which is a trait of good to great companies, people will naturally want to make it great. We'll now go into each of the 6 ingredients that make a company transition from good to great. Ingredient 1, Level 5 Leadership. At the time of their big transition, all the good-to-great companies had Level 5 leadership. Collins describes a Level 5 hierarchy of leadership, starting from highly capable individuals, followed by contributing team member, then competent manager, effective leader, and finally, Level 5 executive. Level 5 leaders are at the top of this hierarchy of leaders and exhibit the duality of personal humility and professional will. Examples of such leaders include Coleman Mockler, David Maxwell, Darwin Smith, Joel Coleman, and Fred Allen. Let's examine the idea of professional will. Level 5 leaders have huge ambitions for their institutions, but not themselves. They are fanatically driven to deliver results, set exacting standards, demonstrate an unwavering resolve, and a quiet doggedness to do whatever it takes to bring the company to greatness. They also demonstrate the window and mirror syndrome. When things go well, they look out the window and give credit to factors outside of themselves. And when they can't find factors to credit, they attribute success to good luck. When things go poorly, they look in the mirror, take responsibility internally, and never blame bad luck. Noticeably, the good-to-great companies did not have celebrity leaders from the outside. In fact, 10 of the 11 good-to-great companies had CEOs from the inside, unlike the comparison companies that tried outside CEOs 6 times more often. Besides professional will, these leaders also demonstrated great personal humility. Level 5 leaders put their egos aside and focus on the company's long-term interest. They demonstrate a compelling modesty, talk about the company but not themselves, shun public praise, and are not boastful. They rely on inspired standards, not charisma, to motivate. They set up successors so that the company could be great without them. By contrast, the unsustained comparison companies were more likely to have talented but egocentric leaders who produce a leap in performance that dies off over time. Unfortunately, there's no solid research so far on how to cultivate Level 5 leaders. Collins recommends that you instead learn to identify Level 5 leaders in your organization. Look for situations where there are extraordinary results, but no one is stepping forth to claim excess credit. There's a high chance you will find a Level 5 leader at work. Ingredient 2. First who, then what? Instead of setting a grand vision and strategy, then rallying people behind them, good to great companies got the right people on board, then figured out which direction to take. There are two important points to note here. First, the right people, then direction and strategy. Level 5 leaders first focus on finding the right people who are A-team players who make a conscious decision to take on the challenges at hand. Strategy is only developed after that. For example, David Maxwell, CEO of financial company Fannie Mae, held back on his strategy until his team was in place. This was despite tremendous pressure from the board. As the company was $56 billion in debt and losing $1 million each business day, with the right team on board, he was able to turn around the situation rapidly. By contrast, the comparison companies focus first on setting the vision, then putting people on the roadmap. Their leaders may be individually talented, but tend to enlist helpers rather than develop strong executives. The model falls apart when the leader leaves. Surprisingly, there was no evidence to support the idea that a certain structure of executive compensation, be it cash, stock, salaries, or incentives, help in the good to great transition. The right compensation helps to get the right people on board and keep them there. However, once you have the right executives, their behaviors aren't dependent on the compensation model. Their own drive for excellence will ensure that they do the best they can. A second important point is to be rigorous but not ruthless about people. Good to great companies exercise rigorousness in people-related decisions and in building a superior executive team, but they do not carry out endless restructuring nor ruthlessly swing the axe. Layoffs were used 5 times more frequently in comparison companies than good to great companies. Collins identified 3 practical principles for rigorousness. 1. When in doubt, don't hire. Keep looking. Grow at a pace which your company can attract enough of the right people. 2. If you need to make people changes, do it. Obviously, it is best to have the right person in the right seat to begin with. At the top management level, good to great companies show a bipolar pattern. People either stay for a long time or they leave quickly if there's no fit. To assess if someone should be on the team, ask, would you hire this person again? And if the person were to leave, would you be disappointed or relieved? 3. Put your best people on your biggest opportunities, not your biggest problems. But if you sell off your problems, please don't sell off your best people. The first who, then what approach works because of 3 simple truths. 1. Beginning with who rather than what means that people are not on board because of a specific direction. That makes it easier to adapt to external changes and switch direction if necessary. 2. The right people are already intrinsically motivated to produce the best possible results and be part of something great. There are no issues of people management and motivation to deal with. 3. If you have the wrong people, you cannot succeed even if you had the best direction. Ingredient 3. Confront the brutal facts, yet never lose faith. Good to great companies don't just pursue a vision. They constantly refine their paths with brutal facts, using 2 types of disciplined thought. First, they face the brutal facts in all their decisions, and second, they apply a simple but insightful frame of reference called the hedgehog concept for all their decisions. What does it mean to confront the brutal facts? Good to great leaders create an environment where the truth can be heard. By contrast, larger-than-life or charismatic leaders can become a liability if the focus is on them rather than the true realities. There are four basic practices to achieve a climate of truth. 1. Lead with questions, not answers. Those leading from good to great realize that they do not have all the answers. They ask the right questions that lead to the best possible insights, and they use informal meetings without fixed agenda to allow realities to surface. 2. Engage in dialogue and debate, not coercion. Good to great companies have intense dialogues, and their strong executives debate and fight aggressively to find the best answers. Yet, because of this process, they will unify fully behind a decision when they eventually reach one. 3. Conduct autopsies without blame. This supports understanding and learning and creates a climate where the truth is heard. 4. Build red flag mechanisms. Good to great companies did not have more information than comparison companies, but they paid attention to crucial information. The red flag concept means turning information into feedback that cannot be ignored. The good to great companies didn't just face the brutal facts. They did it with unwavering faith. There is a sense of euphoria in good to great companies as they demonstrate a commitment to prevail, face the truths head on, and emerge stronger and more resilient. They all demonstrate the Stockdale paradox, which is used to describe how they concurrently retain the faith that they will prevail in the end, yet exhibit discipline to confront the most brutal facts of their current realities. They are not merely optimists who do nothing and hope that things will work out on their own. Ingredient 4, the hedgehog concept. This idea is built on the concept of the Greek parable, the hedgehog and the fox. Unlike the fox and its scattered and wily ways, the hedgehog uses one single defense mechanism to roll into a ball of spikes. That works for all scenarios. Similarly, good to great companies demonstrate a strategic difference in how they function. They develop a deep understanding of three important areas. Then, by identifying the intersection of these three circles or areas, they form a simple, crystalline concept that guides all their efforts. These three circles are 1. What you can be the best in the world at. A hedgehog concept is not a goal or strategy or intention to be the best. It's an understanding of what you can be the best at. It is equally important to know what you cannot be best in the world at. Just because something is your core business doesn't mean you can be the best at it. 2. What drives your economic engine? Good to great companies discover the one denominator that impacts their economics most significantly. For example, profit per employee, profit per geographic region, profit per consumer brand, etc. 3. What are you deeply passionate about? This is not about stimulating passion, but discovering what you are already passionate about, be it your product, industry, or what the company stands for. The hedgehog concept is the space or idea that lies at the intersection of these three circles. Now, getting clarity on the hedgehog concept is an iterative process and takes time. The good to great companies took about 4 years on average to crystallize their concepts, but once they find it, it has a quiet, obvious truth to it that is undeniable. The process involves repeating the following four steps, guided by the three circles. Ask the right questions, engage in dialogue and debate, make executive decisions, and finally, conduct autopsies. It helps to have a council of 5 to 12 right people who meet periodically to debate and perform the four iterative steps. Ingredient 5, a culture of discipline. Most successful startups don't grow into great companies. As they grow, they start to introduce bureaucracy and rules to make up for incompetence and lack of discipline, and the company eventually stagnates. Here's the formula for developing a great organization. Culture of discipline, which is achieved through disciplined people, thought, and action, plus ethic of entrepreneurship, equals great performance. Specifically, this involves a few components. 1. Build a culture around freedom and responsibility and provide a specific framework with clear parameters for people to function within. 2. Hire only self-disciplined people who will go the extra mile to fulfill their responsibilities. That way, you only need to manage the systems but not the people. 3. Build an enduring culture of discipline through level 5 leaders, but do not forcefully discipline the organization using tyrannical leaders. 4. Fanatically adhere to the hedgehog concept. Only start or do things that fall into the intersection of the 3 circles. Stop doing anything, however big the opportunity, that falls outside the intersection. 5. Create a stop doing list so you can channel all your resources into the 1 to 2 areas that you choose to focus on, which is consistent with your hedgehog concept. Ingredient 6. Technology accelerators. Good to great companies think differently about technology in at least 2 ways. Firstly, they understand that technology cannot ignite or create transformations. Technology can only accelerate momentum. Because of this mindset, good to great companies are very selective in technology adoption. They will only adopt a technology that fits directly with their hedgehog concept. Once they have decided on a technology, however, they own it fully and become pioneers in the application of that technology. Secondly, they avoid the technology trap. Good to great companies do not focus on technology as a key factor in their transitions. They do not respond to technology fads nor jump on the bandwagon. They see the big picture, focus single-mindedly on their hedgehog concept, and use technology as merely one of the tools or drivers to accelerate results. They are motivated by their inner drive for excellence and a deep creative urge, unlike comparison companies, which tend to adopt technology with the fear of being left behind. We've just covered the 6 ingredients that bring a company from good to great. Now, let's put these factors together with the concept of the flywheel and the doom loop. The good to great transition doesn't happen overnight, nor does it depend on one big success factor. It is an accumulation of many interlocking steps and factors built on one another until a point of breakthrough is reached. It's like how a flywheel picks up momentum turn by turn. Most of the good to great companies do not realize their own transformation until after it has happened. In fact, they don't even start with a publicly proclaimed goal. They simply start by spinning the flywheel turn by turn. In the process, they develop a deeper understanding of themselves and establish processes. As they accumulate visible results, people are attracted by the potential for success and rally naturally behind the plan that's emerging. Because the flywheel is doing the talking, there is no need to fervently communicate the goal or align people to the vision. In fact, one of the most surprising findings is this. Because good to great companies start with the right ingredients, they do not have to deal with issues of commitment, alignment, and motivation at all. With the right conditions, these problems simply dissolved. However, the reverse happens for comparison companies who suffer the doom loop. In such cases, a new direction, program, leader, or major event kicks in. There is no buildup of momentum, causing disappointing results. People try to react to the problems without understanding the root causes, and the company gets sucked into the doom loop. In summary, every component in the book provides a push on the flywheel, and all the pieces work consistently and coherently together to create momentum and an eventual breakthrough. Other useful details in the book to look out for. If you are interested in research methodology and details, Collins dedicates an entire chapter to his team's research journey, with research appendixes detailing the company's selection process, analysis of CEOs, industries, acquisition strategies, etc. He also lists down the best practices for the 11 good to great companies, including their best in the world list, their economic denominators, and their list of technology accelerators. He ends off the book with a detailed list of conceptual links between this book, Good to Great, and the book Built to Last, which studies how visionary companies like Disney and 3M consistently maintain leadership position and even define their industries over long periods of time. To apply the tips and ideas in this summary, do pick up a copy of the book for more details. We hope you've enjoyed this book summary presentation of Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't, by Jim Collins, read by Larry G. Jones, brought to you by Read In Graphics, actionable insights in one page. To get the most from this presentation, we recommend that you take 2 to 3 minutes to review our reading graphic, where we've summarized the key ideas from this book into one page of easy-to-digest graphics. This is a powerful way to see, organize, and apply insights to create new breakthroughs in your life. Find out more about us and download more titles at www.readingraphics.com.